Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to develop the subject of thanksgiving. And I'm borrowing right from Psalm 92 these words as to shape up our thoughts on that wonderful, beautiful subject. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Why is it a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord? We want to answer the question. Because thanksgiving is a product of the heart, and God wants the heart. And because thanksgiving acknowledges the greatness of God. Thanksgiving acknowledges the grace of God. Thanksgiving acknowledges my own need and insufficiency. Thanksgiving magnifies the Lord before the unsaved and has the character of a testimony. We want to develop these thoughts, and you can see we've got our hands full to cover the ground. All right, now let's go to the Psalm 50 and begin at verse 7 of Psalm 50 and see why thanksgiving is a product of the heart and how God wants it that just that way. In Psalm 50, verse 7, we read, "Hear, O my people, I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for the sacrifices of thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me." They were very faithful in bringing the offerings, but there was something lacking. He says, "I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy fields, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats?" He's being sarcastic toward Israel. "Why are you bringing these offerings? Did you think I was hungry? Is that why you're bringing these offerings?" They were so perfunctory in bringing the offerings, but something was lacking. Well, let's read on. "Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. This is what I really want." And he says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." You call on me when you can't handle it, I'll deliver you, and that'll give you something to be thankful for. He tells them, I want that thanksgiving. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. That's the offering that I want. The offering not of your hands, but the offering of your heart. And God wants heart occupation with him. He says in the Proverbs, "Son, give me thine heart." So thanksgiving results from the heart. The heart is just touched with the goodness of God. Now, in that Psalm 92, of which we have mentioned already, we read these words. Thanksgiving acknowledges the greatness of God. Listen for the greatness of God in these words. "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep." Ah, thanksgiving acknowledges the greatness of God. He created this world, and he keeps it in running order. And he answers our prayers, even though we might think him to be very busy running a universe. Yet he is available to you and me just as we pray. In Psalm 145 and verse 16, we read there, "Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Have you ever noticed a bird take a drink? He dips his beak in the water, and then he throws his head back as if he is thanking God. And he does it again and again and again, and every time he takes a drink, he lifts his head up to heaven. Now, some may say, well, he does that so the water will run down his neck. Can't he swallow? I don't know. But listen to the verse, if you please. Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. He didn't create us to starve. He created us to enjoy him. And thanksgiving acknowledges that greatness of God in this universe in which we live. And isn't it beautiful? Do you love the sunset? Do you love the rose? Do you love the mountains? Do you love the snowy fields on the mountains? Isn't this a wonderful world in which we live? And God keeps it going. And then thanksgiving acknowledges the grace of God. How wonderful it is that he loved us and gave his son to die for our sins. The thanksgiving offering of the Levitical offerings illustrates the fact that God has given his son for us. For those Levitical offerings are just foreviews, seen prophetically, of the work of Christ. Now, in the matter of the offerings of Israel, five offerings, the thanksgiving offering, there was an offering that was called the peace offering. It was the thanksgiving offering to God. And they thanked God way ahead of time for the birth and the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Those animals that were sacrificed, their blood was shed, speaks of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus, who was given to die on that cross for you and for me. And then both God that received the offering and they who presented the offering ate part of that offering. Now God says, the fat is mine. I eat the fat. The children of Israel forbidden to eat fat. God says it's mine. Now, the children of Israel had a part, that is, the priest had a part in offering that offering. He had a part in feeding on it. Now, his part was the shoulder and the breast, the wave breast and the heave shoulder were the priest's offering, and he fed on that in the holy place. Now, the shoulder is the place of strength. The breast is the place of love. And your salvation and my salvation rests upon the love of God and the strength of God in placing our sins upon Christ when he died on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Oh, we've got a thank offering, the shoulders and the breast, his love and his power. It was God, all of God's planning and all of God's thoughts, that Christ would die for our sins. We have sinned against God, and sin must be judged. But God didn't want to judge you and me. So he gave his son the responsibility of dying for you and me. As a matter of fact, Christ requested it. Here am I, send me. He requested that he have that privilege of honoring God in taking the blame, the judgment for our sins, and he died on the cross. And I'll tell you, if there is ever a time when thanksgiving is in mode, it's when you realize that God loves you, Christ died for you, and he gave his son for you, and the moment you receive it, the moment that you make it your own by faith and says, yes, that was for me, God is pleased. And there's some of it for God, some of that thanksgiving he appreciates, and you get the privilege of presenting it. Oh, that we might thank God for giving his son to die for you and for me. It acknowledges the grace of God. And then thanksgiving acknowledges my own need and insufficiency. God says that there in that 50th Psalm, he says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. God will give you something to be thankful for. He'll deliver you. And he's delivered us from that judgment of death, consignment to a lost eternity because of our sin Christ died for it. It's accomplished fact. Now, we need to acknowledge our own need and our own insufficiency when we talk about the fact that Christ died for us. Now, it acknowledges my own need and insufficiency, but it acknowledges also that the thanksgiving magnifies the Lord before the unsaved. I tell you, a thankful person is a person that's marked. You see a person that's marked, and you're thankful, and you say, well, I like his peace of mind. I wish I had a peace of mind like that, that he could be always thankful. Well, he's thankful to the Lord for his deliverance from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and someday from the very presence of sin. Let's read two Psalms in connection with this. We read Psalm 69 and verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Now, people are going to hear that song, and they're going to hear that thanksgiving. And it is a testimony. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving magnifies the Lord before the unsaved and has that character of a testimony. Psalm 26 and 7, we read there, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Now you notice, please, it says that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. We want to make it clear to the dear unsaved around us that Christ died for us, and we're thankful that he did. Oh, we're so thankful that he did. Let's go over our topics again. Thanksgiving is a product of the heart, and God wants the heart. Thanksgiving acknowledges the greatness of God. Psalm 50, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Then thanksgiving acknowledges the grace of God. Oh, how wonderful that grace that gave his dear son to die on that cross for you and me. Oh, the blessed theme of grace, how pleasant it is to the ear. And then thanksgiving acknowledges my own need and my own insufficiency. We do not get much blessing coming from God, coming into the presence of God, thinking that we're doing him a favor. It's our privilege to come into his presence. And he has given us that opportunity sometimes by his deliverance. And then we can thank God. And can you think of a better opening with a person than just to say, I've got so much to thank the Lord for. I just thank him for his goodness. That is a testimony. And Father, we thank you today for this wonderful subject in the Psalms. Oh, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Bless the subject to our hearts and move us to thank him that he died for us. In his name, amen.